Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. Maria Bello is known for films like Coyote Ugly and A History of Violence, as well as NBC's ER. But a few years ago, the actress also became known for a part of her life off-screen, her love life. And where better to open up about such things than the Modern Love column? Here's Maria Bello reading her own essay, Coming Out as a Modern Family.
When my 12-year-old son Jackson asked me if there was something I wasn't telling him, I replied, there are a lot of things I don't tell you. Like what? Adult stuff. He persisted. What kind of adult stuff? This was the moment I had been anticipating and dreading for months. Like romantic stuff, I said, fumbling for words. What kind of romantic stuff? Well, I said, like how sometimes you can be friends with someone, and then it turns romantic, and then you're friends again, like with Dad and me, or romantic, like Bryn and me were, and then he and I became friends. So are you romantic with anyone right now? He asked. I took a deep breath, knowing that my answer and his response would have an impact on our lives for a very long time. He was right. I was with someone romantically, and I hadn't told him. I had become involved with a woman who was my best friend, and, as it happens, a person who was like a godmother to my son. How and when should I tell him? When I explained the situation to a therapist, she smiled and said, "Your son may say a lot of things about you when he's older, but he will never say his mother was boring." Her advice was to wait until he asked. And now here he was, asking. About a year before this conversation, I had been sitting in my garden in California, looking through photos and old journals I had kept since childhood. The journals told stories that seemed woven together by a similar theme. I read about the handful of men and the one woman I had been in romantic relationships with, passages rife with pain and angst. It seemed when I was physically attracted to someone, I would put them in the box of being my soulmate, and then be crushed when things didn't turn out as I had hoped. As I continued to look through photos, I came across a black and white one of my best friend and me taken on New Year's Eve. We looked so happy, I couldn't help but smile. I remembered how we had met 2 years before. She was sitting in a bar wearing a fedora and speaking in her Zimbabwean accent. We had an immediate connection, but didn't think of it as romantic or sexual. She was one of the most beautiful, charming, brilliant, and funny people I had ever met. But it didn't occur to me until that soul-searching moment in my garden that we could perhaps choose to love each other romantically. What had I been waiting for all these years? She is the person I like being with the most, the one with whom I am most myself. The next time I saw her in New York, I shared my confusing feelings, and we began the long, painful, wonderful process of trying to figure out what our relationship was supposed to be. First, how would it affect my son? He trusted Claire. He loved her. He had never met most of the men I had been in love with and had no idea I had been with a woman as well. Second, how would it affect my career? I've never defined myself by whom I slept with, but I know others have and would. It's hard for me even to define the term partner. For 5 years, I considered my partner to be a friend, then in his 70s, John Calley, with whom I talked daily. He was the one who picked me up each time I had a breakdown about another failed romance. Because we were platonic, did that make him any less of a partner? I have two friends who are sisters, who have lived together for 15 years and raised a daughter. Are they not partners because they don't have sex? And many married couples I know haven't had sex for years. Are they any less partners? My feelings for Claire aren't the same as the butterflies in the stomach, angst-ridden love I have felt before. They are much deeper than that. As we grew closer, my desire for her grew stronger until after a few months, I decided to share the truth of our relationship with my large Italian-Polish traditional Philadelphia family. My father's response came between puffs of his cigar while we sat on the roof of a casino in Atlantic City. "She's a good girl. Good for you," he said. My mother and family echoed his sentiments. Maybe they weren't so traditional after all. My feelings about attachment and partnership have always been that they are fluid and evolving. Jack's father, Dan, will always be my partner because we share Jack. Dan is the best father and the most wonderful man I've known. Just because our relationship is non-sexual doesn't make him any less of a partner. We share the same core values, including putting our son first. My more recent ex, Bryn, remains my partner because we share our activism, and Claire will always be my partner because she is also my best friend. This past summer, I was very ill. At one point, it looked as if I might not survive. But the people who were at my bedside every day at the hospital were many of my life partners. My mother, Jackson, Dan, my brother Chris, and Claire. Claire rarely left my side and called every doctor and connection she knew to help figure out what was wrong with me. It was Dan who brought our son to see me every day and kept him feeling safe in such a scary situation. It was Chris whose arms I fell into when I couldn't get up. It was my mother who stroked my head for hours at a time. And it was Jackson who walked me through the halls with my IV and made me breathe. So back to Jackson's question. With me sitting on the edge of his bed, was I romantic with anyone right now? I exhaled and finally said it. Claire. He looked at me for what seemed like an eternity, and then broke into a huge, warm smile. "Mom, love is love, whatever you are," he said with wisdom beyond his years. I loved him so much for saying that. "But Jack, I'm a little scared," I said. "When I was younger, people judged you if you were in a romantic relationship with a person of the same sex, and some still do. So I'm not sure how to deal with this. But we'll figure it out together." And we have figured it out together, Jack, Claire, Dan, and I. It's a rare weekend when we aren't piled in the same car, driving to one of Jack's soccer tournaments. Dan makes fun of Claire for getting lost, and she makes sure he always has the umbrellas, sunscreen, water, nuts, and whatever else we might need in a nuclear disaster. We have dinner together almost every night. As I write this, we're basking in the afterglow of Dan's 50th birthday party that Claire, Jackson, and I gave, which was attended by his family and mine, and many other people I consider partners in one aspect of my life or another. It was a room of celebration and unconditional love. So, I would like to consider myself a whatever, as Jackson said. Whomever I love, however I love them, whether they sleep in my bed or not, or whether I do homework with them or share a child with them, love is love. And I love our modern family. Maybe in the end, a modern family is just a more honest family.
Maria Bello, reading her essay, Coming Out as a Modern Family. And how is her modern family doing today? We'll hear from her after the break. We're back. It's Modern Love, the podcast. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And now a postscript from Modern Love editor Daniel Jones and the author and reader of this week's essay, Maria Bello.
What I wrote about in the article continues to be true. Relationships are fluid and constantly evolving. Dan is now engaged to a wonderful woman. Claire and I are not in a romantic relationship anymore, but she continues to be my best friend. She lives a mile up the street, came this morning to drive Jackson to school, and she'll be the person that I talk to at the end of the night. She has a beautiful new girlfriend. I'm dating someone, kinda. And life goes on. But my family just gets bigger and bigger and more loving. And I realize the more I let go, the more I let myself and others around me be whatevers, the more happy, compassionate, and joyful I will be.
Some ways that the Modern Love column has changed over the years is that coming out in whatever way about your sexuality is not so much a story anymore. It's too common. It's been passed by as a story. But if you are a Hollywood celebrity, it's more of a story. When Maria Bello contacted me about wanting to write an essay as someone whose career was in the public and in romantic movies in which she was in heterosexual relationships, these are all things she had to consider in making her private life public. But because she had a son who she wanted to be honest with, she felt like she couldn't be honest with him without being honest more broadly. She wanted to take control of that story and emphasize that it's a more complicated story about human sexuality and the fluidity of that. And it's not about labels, and it's not about putting yourself in a box and staying there. When the column came out, sure enough, the headline that ricocheted around the world was Maria Bello comes out in a newspaper column that she is gay.
But there was pushback against that headline, which many saw as an oversimplification of Maria's story. Friends, colleagues, and strangers flocked to her defense.
In fact, Mary Elizabeth Williams, whose essay was read by Cheryl Strayed several weeks ago, was one of the people leading the charge. And at the end of Mary Elizabeth Williams' article that she wrote in Salon, she wrote, "It's a different kind of coming out, one that recognizes that not everybody fits in one tidy box. It's a lesson that sometimes, when you open your mind and look in your soul, it's possible the person you were meant to be with has been right there beside you all along. And that the big deal for people like Bello isn't the gender of the person they're happy with, it's the happiness itself." There are all these complicated relationships that don't have names and don't fit the standard categories. And Maria's essay was like a balm and an acknowledgement to all these families that don't fit the standard boxes. And there was a real outpouring, a real positive outpouring that just said thank you for being so public about this, for using your reach to explain how so many families don't fit into those standard boxes, and we shouldn't expect to, and we shouldn't have to label everything so that others know how to think about us or judge us in that way.
Modern Love editor Dan Jones. And special thanks to Maria Bello for reading her essay. You can read more about her modern family in her memoir, Whatever, Love is Love, Questioning the Labels We Give Ourselves. You can also see her later this year in the films Max Steel and Lights Out. And later this week on Modern Love, a bonus episode featuring your stories about waiting for love.
I have spent 4 years waiting in the room next to my housemate for him to realize that he loves me, or me to realize that he doesn't.
I've recently let go of a man I've been waiting for 2 years. The fact that I made a list in my journal of public places I've cried over him in New York City should have been the sign.
And I always wonder whether what to me was an undefined relationship, to her was something more.
Modern Love is a production of The New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It is produced, directed, and edited by Jessica Alpert, John Perotti, and Amory Sievertson. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Our casting consultant is Amy Lippens. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. Music for the podcast, courtesy of APM. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.